Let's turn now in God's Word to the book of Judges. The book of Judges, chapter 3. Judges, chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 1 through 11. Our passage that we'll consider this evening is verses 7 through 11. Judges chapter 3, we'll begin in verse 1. And God's people, let's pray to the Lord. Our Father, thank you for your word. I'm thankful that you continue speaking to us. What a great mercy and your grace poured out to us. Now, Father, we ask that you would help us, grant us ears to hear. Turn our hearts back to you from our sin and idolatry and our waywardness. Rebuke us, correct us, train us in righteousness, and teach us your ways, that we might be a faithful people, holy unto the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Judges chapter 3, verse 1. These are God's words. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. Only that the generations of the children of Israel might know, to teach them war, at least such as before knew nothing thereof. Namely, five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Baalim and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. And those are God's words. God's people, where we begin here in verse 7 is a continuation from what came before. That's why we read part of it. And you see verse 7 again. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Baalim and the groves. Well, then the question that we need to ask is, why did Israel do evil in the sight of the Lord? Why did they forget the Lord their God and serve, remember, worship Baalim and the groves, or the Ashtaroth, which were woods of trees erected for idolatry? Why were they led to this? We just read last Lord's Day and just now, verse 5, and the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. Israel did not obey the Lord, and they hadn't utterly destroyed or drove out the foreigners. And what happened because of this is verse 6. And they took their daughters to be their wives. The Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, all those people, they took those daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served, worshipped their gods. You remember last Lord's Day we considered, it's never the other way around, where you marry an unbeliever And then they come and they worship the living and true God. Every time in Scripture, now it could happen, but every time in Scripture, it's always, no, you, the believer, or the one who professes faith, you serve their gods. And so we ought to be greatly warned. And those in covenant with Jehovah, marrying those who are not in covenant with Jehovah. And why did that happen again? The many, many times, if we go throughout Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, the many, many times the Lord had commanded Israel to utterly destroy and drive out the nations before them, because verse 6 would happen. And that harkens back to the flood, you remember, in Genesis. And we made mention of that last Lord's Day. Why did the Lord destroy the world with a flood? Right? Not just a part of the world, but the whole world with a flood. Why did He do that? For which today we have this great promise of His mercy and His grace that He would never do so again. And it's shown in the covenant sign of the rainbow that we see after the rain. Remember Genesis, it said, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God," God's covenant people, "saw the daughters of men," the unbelievers, "the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, 'I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth Me that I have made them.' And He sent the worldwide flood, saving Noah and his family." Well, having promised never to send such a destructive flood again, we see what happens now, that His covenant people of God, the covenant people of God, intermarry with unbelievers and idolaters. They serve the nation's false gods. They worship the Baalim, multiple false gods, multiple Baals, and the Ashtoreth. And they do not worship or serve Jehovah. They do not worship the one living and true God. They've exchanged the truth of God for a lie, Romans 1, and worship the creature, the creation, instead of the Creator who's blessed forever. And worshiping falsely, as we heard this morning, when we turn from the Lord's way, little by little, we are moved more and more from more to turn from the Lord. And as in Genesis we just read, they married the daughters of men instead of covenant daughters, the princesses of the king. And what happened? The wickedness of man was great in the earth. Over time, what happened? Wickedness grew and grew and grew. Because why? These sons of God, who had now married the daughters of men, started worshiping their false gods. And the wickedness grew and grew until the Lord sent the flood. And it became so great because one sin not addressed and repented of leads to another sin and another and more, and they all took root and grew to a great infestation and idolatry. Therefore, intermarrying led to verse 7. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Baalim and the groves." You think, beloved, if you build a bridge and all the beams are in great condition, but one is deficient, one is rotten, what's going to happen? A great destruction, right? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And they forgot the Lord. And they were so fixated on the false worship of the false gods and all the atrocities and the wickedness that seemed to satisfy the lust of the flesh. They loved those things. And so they turned from Jehovah and they did evil in His sight. And they worshipped idols all their time, consumed with idolatry and sin. And they forgot Jehovah. They forgot His covenant. They forgot His commandments, His law. They forgot the glorious promises of the Messiah and the gospel. And what is it, beloved, when we turn from worshiping the Lord and being faithful Lord's Day after Lord's Day to be present with His people? When we forsake all of that, what happens is out of sight and out of mind and out of heart. Their way became perverted, and the Lord the King is forgotten. Now you know, beloved, do you not, that the Lord our God is a jealous God? He's a jealous God. Even a second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Why? For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The book of Joshua ended with Joshua exhorting Israel. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. And Joshua, remember what he was saying there, is that if you are committing your way to the Lord, don't turn from Him. Because if you turn from Him and then serve false gods, He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Turn to the Lord and be faithful. And the people responded, nay, but we will serve Jehovah. And they've now turned from the Lord, the next generation. They're serving, worshiping other gods, false gods, and Jehovah is still and always is and forever holy and jealous. And so verse 8, it says, therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And the first part of verse 8 is even more so like this. Jehovah burned with anger. Friends, does the Lord burn in anger towards you? Is there sin in idolatry, and you've come here and you're worshiping, but then you go out of here and you put all your focus where? All of your time, all of your money into the world, into games, into entertainment, into your job, into your idols. What are your idols? Each of you has your idols. What are they? Who are they? Every time you flee to those idols, the Lord who is holy, the Lord who is jealous for His own worship alone, burns with anger because He's holy and jealous for His worship alone. He burns with anger even toward His covenant people, like these, His covenant children, and such that it's possible that you then, because of your worshiping idols, and you keep worshiping those idols, and you don't put them to death, you don't burn them, you don't destroy them, that you could forget Him, the Lord, while you're doing evil in His sight. Right? Every time we go after our idols, we have forgotten our Lord. As Christians, we often exalt, as we should, we exalt in God's mercy and His grace. Praise the Lord. But then, consider the Lord's holiness. Consider the Lord's holiness. We considered His mercy and grace this evening, or this morning. But consider the Lord's holiness. Is His anger burning hot against you? And now again, we go back. We praise the Lord for His continuing loving kindness, His covenant mercy, His grace, where in Christ He withholds His punishments towards us. Praise the Lord. Because Jesus was crucified for our sins. And what do we know, again, from going back to Joshua and then coming to this passage, even what we heard in the last chapter in chapter 2, that generation that followed Joshua, that generation that entered into the land of Canaan was faithful to the Lord. His covenant people, and now the next generation, who are also God's covenant people, have turned completely from the Lord. And they're filled with unfaithfulness to Jehovah. Is that you, children? I'm not just talking about children. But the next generation. Some of you are married now. Children. Is that you? You're the next generation. Verse 6, who are you going to marry if you're still unmarried? Who are you going to marry? God's people, especially those in the Reformed Presbyterian Church who know the Scriptures, who love God's worship. Children, you need to know that in God's providence, you are supremely blessed to be part of this congregation. Some of you know that when you go out and you visit other congregations, how blessed you really are to be part of this congregation. I don't say that with pride. I say that with humility, because we all know by God's grace we are here by His blessing us, and He's grown us in such a great way. But not to lift up this congregation in pride, but rather for a boasting in Jesus Christ. How blessed was that generation? They had come into the land. They were privileged to see and settle finally in their own land and build their own homes instead of dwelling in tents and always moving. How blessed those children were. They had never fought themselves. They didn't keep fighting the fight that must be kept being fought. And their parents had fought for purity and reformation amongst Israel. But the children did not keep fighting. Parents, this ought to again push you to greater faithfulness in teaching your children the doctrines found in the Scriptures alone, to catechize, to bring them faithfully to worship every Lord's Day. And I say that the grandparents do. Some of you watch children, catechize them, read the Scriptures to them, pray with them, bring them to worship when you can. Because children, you're the next generation. And do not take it lightly where you are today. Right? Do not take it lightly where you are. Seek to continue in faithfulness to the Lord. Watch and pray lest you too be tempted. Because here is this next generation. Their parents were faithful. And they turned unto the Lord. And they went out into the world. This next generation, they turned from loving the Lord. They went out into the world and they loved the world. They loved their gods. They did not marry God's covenant people around them, but they sought out those of the world, those weaker. They were fair. They looked more beautiful. Perhaps they were those worldly people. And they took on what? Their gods and worshiped them. Children, you will grow up and you... Will you be faithful? Will you be faithful to the Lord? Like His covenant people and the generation before were? Or be like this covenant people we read about this evening who are unfaithful? Which one will you be? Choose today whom you will serve. Choose today whom you will serve. Jehovah. Or all the false gods of the world out there. Jehovah leads to grace and mercy and life forever, a land flowing with milk and honey, communion with God forever in Christ Jesus. But those false gods lead to one thing very similar to Romans 1. The Lord will hand you over to the false gods. You want them? The Lord will say, have them. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. The Lord did this, chapter 2, verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was hot. Chapter 2, verse 14. It says, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them, and He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said. And as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. That was the Lord's promise at the early on in chapter 2, you remember? If they wouldn't utterly destroy and drive out the Canaanites, the nations, this is what He promised. He'd hand them over. They broke covenant and they're handed over to the nations to serve their gods. The Lord gave them up to their desires. Jehovah was just displeased with them, for they took that which was holy. They themselves were set apart as God's children, God's covenant people. And they set that aside to be common, like all the other nations around about them. And so the Lord, who is their hedge of protection around them, was laid bare and open to the world. They wanted the nations. They wanted the gods of the nations, and so they received them. False gods who can't save them when Cushan-Rishathaim comes. Can't save them. The nations of the world coming and ruling over them. And that's what they wanted. And they received it. And what does it say there? The first one to come to the open fields of unfaithful Israel was the king of Mesopotamia from the northeast of Israel, Cushan-Rishathaim. And Israel served him as their king. Same word. Served him, worshipped him, even as a false god. They were made to, because that's what they wanted. This is Israel's land, though. The Lord had given it, given the land as an inheritance to them. This is their land. And here comes a foreign king into it and takes it over from these covenant breakers. They forfeited the land in their disobedience and unfaithfulness. And this went on for 8 years of slavery and service to this foreign king. 8 years. Perhaps in the first few years, they could get by. They're thinking kind of like we are in now during inflation. Maybe it's like that. Or maybe it will be like that. Everything's going to be fine. We're going to get through this. And then time dragged on, and year after year, they could not shake off the yoke of slavery of this king. But eventually their pride turned to cries. There was a time when they were filled and were blessed of the Lord because of their parents. And they go off. They've gone off. They cried to Baalim. Cried out to the groves. They've cried out to the Ashtaroth. All the Baals of the land. But none of those false gods could do anything. Nothing happened. Because those false gods are nothing more than man's creation of wood and stone. They don't actually hear anyone's cries, anyone's prayers. No one would hear them, even their false gods that they loved and idolized and served. So when then, after 8 years, 8 years of pleading for someone else to deliver them, some other false god to deliver them, when they're in dire straits, when in trouble, they found that the last one they finally turned back to, was Jehovah, in whom they at first had broken covenant that had been made with him. Now they cry out to him, the Lord from whom they had rebelled and turned from and rejected, whose holiness and justice because of their sin, our God was faithful in His holiness and justice according to His promise and sent upon them this trouble that they might see all these false gods, all these idols could do absolutely nothing for them. And it's only for them and for you today. It's only the Lord's power and favor that can help you in times of trouble. Out of all your troubles, it's the Lord who can be your help. That's what this generation found out. For they finally, in all their affliction, they finally, after 8 years, cried out to the Lord. And He always answers and blesses His people. The only hope we have left is in the Lord. And so let us cry out to Him. Verse 9. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel who delivered them, even Othniel the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. We see here that the Lord is ready to hear your cry. He's ready to hear your prayers. He's ready. 8 years go by, they're in their sin, they're worshiping their false gods, they're serving this foreign king, and they finally humble themselves to cry out to the Lord. And immediately, He raises up a judge, Othniel, to save them and deliver them. The children of Israel humble themselves enough to cry out to Jehovah. And children, today, all of you who are here today, friends, all of you, you might not have anything else. But if you would just humble yourselves enough to cry out to the Lord in prayer and acknowledge that Jehovah hears your cries, that alone in Jesus Christ does He hear and answer every single one of you if you would cry out to Him. The covenant God Jehovah, no matter how sinful these people's prayers were, the covenant children, their prayers were, and crying out to Him, He still heard them. And the Lord shows mercy to them. He raises up a deliverer, a savior to the children of Israel who delivered them. His name is Othniel, the first one, Caleb's younger brother. The Lord didn't reject their cries, but graciously provided a savior for them. One from a previous generation. A generation filled with followers faithful to God. And by now, at this point, for Othniel, far advanced in years. He was older now, well near the end of his life. Jehovah raised up him to save his people. Think of those who are older here. The decays of age were of no hindrance to his usefulness to the kingdom when God had work for him to do. And if God so calls you to do something, He will bring it to pass. Did that with Paul. He does that here with Othniel in his older age. And how did the Lord come? By His Holy Spirit, showing forth the power of God. You see verse 10. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. That's Othniel, came upon Othniel. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim. Now, how is anyone called of God? By the Holy Spirit. Called by the Spirit to be a pastor. Called by the Spirit to be an elder. Called by the Spirit to be a deacon. Called by the Spirit to be a Christian. The calling of God comes by the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel, the Lion of God. That's what his name means. The Lion of God. He did not call himself. He did not take this up on his own accord. Right? He was for 8 years doing nothing that we know of. But presumably being faithful to the Lord in the midst of all the unfaithfulness. So he didn't call himself. He didn't take it up on his own accord. It's not of man. It's not by man that he is called of the Lord, or that the calling of the Lord comes. It is of the Spirit of the Lord coming upon a man, and his calling was what? To judge Israel. To judge in this book means to deliver, to save the Lord's covenant people. So the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, raised up Othniel to save these wayward covenant children of Israel who have finally cried out to Jehovah. The Spirit of all wisdom and power and courage qualified him for the service. There was nothing in him that qualified himself. It was the Lord who qualified him. And so having been called, what did he do? He went out and judged Israel. He's going out to right all the wrongs within Israel. In their relation to Jehovah, they had played the harlot, the prostitute. They had committed adultery and idolatry. And this judging was to make things right with Israel's enemies. This king, Cushan-Rishathaim. And so notice that language in verse 10. He judged Israel. And when we think of the judges, we often think he goes out to judge the foreigners, the people who are the enemies of God's people, who are now coming back and crying to the Lord. But notice first, he does not do that. He judges Israel. Israel needs a right relationship with Jehovah. They had sinned against Him. Israel, you have sinned. They would have been rebuked for their sin. Othniel would have gone out and convinced them that they had sinned. And look at all the sins you had committed. And called them to repent, to turn back to Jehovah. Otherwise, they would be left to themselves again. But now, turn to the Lord and be restored back to pure worship of Jehovah. And so first He judged Israel. And that's what Othniel was doing. He's delivering Israel from their sins and idolatry and bringing them to worship Jehovah alone. To love the Lord God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. You want deliverance today, friends, from your sins. It's the same thing. And the eternal condemnation of your sins, and you must come to the judge who comes and judges you now. And He come to Him who saves you and delivers you from those sins by His righteous life and death on the cross. He is the eternal and forever living judge. And He comes often rebuking His people because they have turned from Him to idolatry and sin and turning often from His face. And so, friends, turn back now to Him. Turn back to Jesus Christ and He will not hide His face any longer from you. He'll shine the brightness of His countenance on each of you and grant you all grace and peace. That's what the benedictions we often hear promise you. But Othniel also judged the enemy. For no enemy of the Lord's and no enemy that attacks the children of Israel, God's covenant people, will ever stand very long. It says of Othniel, and he went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim. Who delivers his people? Is it Othniel the judge? Should we exalt in the man? Like exalting in Samson, like so many are taught in childhood to do. No, we should not exalt in Samson, but the God of Samson. Right? Praise the Lord. It was the Lord that had delivered them from their enemies through the hand of Othniel. Just the same as He did in the book of Joshua, delivered His people over and over again. It was the Lord who did it through Joshua, through the army of Israel. But it was the Lord. So we praise the Lord. And God brought Israel back to Him and they worshiped Him for a generation. Praise the Lord. For 40 years. They worshiped and lived faithfully for Him. Verse 11. Right? And the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel the son of Kenaz died. The yoke of oppression, the slavery of bondage to sin, it was broken. Some of you here today feel the bondage of sin. Always pulled, always overtaken in sin. Othniel died. The Savior of Israel died, but Jesus who died rose again and is the Savior who comes to you and pleads with you, come to Him by faith. He is the great and eternal deliverer from all your sins, all your enemies, sin included, and delivers you and saves you unto everlasting blessing in life. Some fruit of reformation. What's the fruit of their reformation? They're turning back to the Lord. 40 years of rest. 40 years of Sabbath with the Lord and worshiping Him. And what blessing that would continue if they would remain faithful unto the Lord. The next generation, that would continue if they would remain faithful unto the Lord in the covenant. And if they would be, and if you would be, beloved covenant keepers, that you would receive blessing forevermore. And so, beloved, we've learned that our sin and unfaithfulness to the Lord can bring on God's people, including ourselves, Jehovah's judgments. Right? Remember, judgment begins with the house of God. Psalm 90, it says, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. show pity on us. But in our distress, beloved, never forget, you may forget the Lord a lot along the way, but never forget to cry out to Him. Never forget to cry out to Him once you realize that there's no one else to save you, that there's no other judge to deliver you but Jesus. Cry out to Him. Friendship with the world is fatal, but crying out to the Lord is life. Like in Isaiah 26, it says, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Right? And then we return to the Lord. Psalm 119, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And so the Lord sends a judge. He brings relief, but be warned also in your crying. Hosea 7. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. And they have not cried unto me with their heart when they howled upon their beds. They assembled themselves for corn and wine, and they rebelled against me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. Right? They cried out to the Lord when they were in trouble, but they didn't really mean it from their heart. They, even as they're crying unto the Lord, thinking, believing to themselves, we're just going to rebel again after He saves us and we're fine again. We're just going to rebel against Him again. That's what they're crying. So woe unto them. Let that not be any of us. And yet He raised up a judge, a deliverer, a Savior, one so enabled by the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus was upon His baptism, right? Jesus called at His baptism. Is Jesus your judge? Isaiah 33. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our King. He will save us. He will save us. Is that your prayer for Jesus to save you even as your judge? Think of Acts 5. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a Prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Each one of you here, your calling is unto faithfulness to Jesus Christ. And if not, be warned. Our rest comes only from Him. He will grant the rest in coming to Jesus. If in Him we find rest for our souls, and at the right time, if we keep coming and we keep crying out to the Lord, He will at the last bring us home into that eternal rest. Verse 11. He will bring us to the eternal rest, the eternal Sabbath in glory with Him, as Job 3 says, where the wicked cease from troubling and there the weary be at rest. Bring your weary souls and cry out to Jesus for your salvation. Children, bring your weary soul to Jesus. And He will save you. Right? Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful that You give us and have always eternally decreed that He would come to redeem us, our Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that You would make us to be a faithful people, for we know that without holiness no man shall see the Lord. And that by Your Holy Spirit, by which You have called us to be faithful, that You've predestined us unto love and to keep Your commandments and good works. Father, we ask that You would be faithful and bring that to pass fully and bring us into that glorious home with You in heaven. But Father, for that to be, we must be faithful. And so grant us Your grace. And when we turn from You, certainly chastise us and discipline us. Send Your judgments, but Father, please, by Your Spirit, draw us back, and may we not rebel against the Spirit. May we not rebel against You any longer, but be faithful. And Father, may we have the grace to cry out to You. Without your grace, we are unable to cry, unable to plead. And so work in us your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.